In 2007, TV network CBS dropped 40 kids in the middle of the New Mexico desert as part of a brand new reality show. These kids would have to build their own society from scratch. And if this sounds like Lord of the Flies to you, well, it was meant to.
We were on this mission together. We were going to prove to the world that we could make a better society than adults could.
I'm Josh Gwynn, and I want to know what this wild TV experiment was really about. Split Screen, Kid Nation, a six-part podcast from CBC. Available now.
Still, we have paid thousands of dollars to get into this, our entry fee and everything. We still not have received an email, a text, or nothing to confirm that it's canceled.
I am really sad because I loaded my bracelets already, all our alcohol already bought, and I had my tickets. You know, I'm so sad.
I'm still out the price of the tickets so far.
I'm supposed to be a food vendor there.
So I've got like thousands of dollars of food sitting at my place for this event that now I'm stuck with.
For a tiny community in Ontario, it was just about the biggest, loudest thing to never happen.
Roxidus.
Remember standing at the foot of a stage with a wave of rock music screaming at your face? Now, imagine a whole weekend of that.
Roxidus.
The largest classic rock music festival you can imagine was supposed to kick off 2 days from now. But it won't. Never will. A couple of weeks before the festival, rumors started to swirl. And then just 10 days out, it was gone. Canceled with a simple statement posted to the internet. There were a lot of questions, not a lot of answers. What would happen to the tens of thousands of ticket holders who had already made travel arrangements, paid for VIP packages, and loaded cash onto digital wristbands? What would happen to the vendors who bought space and secured workers and purchased tons of food? And what would happen to the two promoters at the heart of this who made huge promises, sold a grand idea, and are now the subject of a police investigation? And yes, if all of this sounds like a cheesy Canadian rock version of a documentary you might have watched on Netflix, well, you're not far off. Welcome to the story behind Roxidus, which nearly became Canada's fire festival.
Let there be rock.
Brought to you by MF Live.
I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings, and this is The Big Story. Sean Gibson is a reporter for Barry Today, who was covering Roxidus back when it was still a real event. It was going to actually happen. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how are you?
I am great, thanks. I wanted to talk to you today about Roxidus.
Yes, everybody wants to.
Yeah, so first of all, I guess, why don't you start for people who are outside of Southern Ontario, although I gather people came from all over Canada to this thing, but what was Roxidus supposed to be?
So Roxidus was supposed to be this mega rock concert that was just too good to be true, obviously, but just for the lineup wise, too good to be true. Aerosmith, Kid Rock, Nickelback, Alice Cooper, I mean the biggest names in rock. And it was kind of blew us away because it wasn't at Burroughs Creek. Burroughs Creek is known for having these amazing concerts. They just had the Stones. It was going to be at Edenville Airport, which is the other way, and nothing like this has ever happened there before. So it was just this like once in a lifetime concert that was going to hit our area, and it was everybody was looking very forward to it.
So do you remember hearing about it when it was announced? Like, how big was the push behind this thing?
So yeah, so when they said Roxas was coming and they mentioned a few of the artists, it was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And again, right away you thought Burroughs Creek did it again, but when they mentioned Edenville Airport, everybody kind of went, okay, stop for a second to think about it, and they kept naming the bands, and the push on it was, I kept seeing it on social media. I didn't really hear too much about it on the radio. There weren't a lot of ads all over the place. So I wasn't sure how that went. There wasn't a lot of money put into advertising, but I mean, the push on social media took itself. I mean, smart or not smart, it kind of pushed itself. Once the bands were named, it went crazy. It was like a wildfire. And it really truly was going to be one of the biggest concerts people had seen anywhere, really. And I think that's what pushed it on social media.
How were they selling it on social media?
Again, like just the biggest rock concert you could. They just kept saying like rocks, like Roxidus, 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 Roxidus. It was this word, and it stuck to everything. So everybody's like, "You going to Roxidus? You going to Roxidus? I can't believe Roxidus." it kind of like, I knew Aerosmith, I think Aerosmith was announced a little bit later than the other bands. I know Nickelback was announced, Kid Rock was announced. Aerosmith was a little bit after, not too long after. So when Aerosmith hit, it really caught wildfire. It was like, holy smokes, like this is huge.
So we will get to exactly what happened in just a moment. It was supposed to be this coming weekend. And in the weeks, I guess, before this all kind of exploded last week, was there any skepticism flying around? Were there any rumors?
So truthfully, when it was all announced at first, myself, I'm a pessimist, so I was like, there's no way this is happening. And I didn't mean it like to the magnitude of what we've seen. It was just unbelievable. Like, it was just, I mean, look at the lineup. It's unbelievable. So, and then there were other people who, you know, around town and a little bit of chatter, you know, the coffee shop would sit and chat it up. And they were like, there's no way this is going to happen, man. There's one road in and out. And I don't know if you've ever been up that way, but Highway 26 going past that airport into Wasega Beach, kind of, Wasega Beach is the next big area. It's two lanes. It's one east, one west. That's it. So the whole idea of, you know, what, 20,000, 40,000 people descending upon this airfield in two lanes was, like, everybody kept saying, there's just no way. The permits aren't done. And I think the permits got finished on June 19th, I believe. That's pretty late in the game. And when they were finalized, there was like, wow, okay, this is happening. Like, it's really happening. But there was a lot of skepticism. And then for myself, nobody really... I mean, you hear the different chatter, people saying, oh, there's no way it'll work because the highway and the roads in and out. But I was sitting at a coffee shop in Barrie on Sunday, and I got a message from somebody who said, hey, I just wanted to give you a tip. There's no way this concert's going to happen. And I was like, okay, what's your name? You know, and they're like, well, I don't want to go on the record. I'm like, okay, well, then I can't use the story. Like, I don't know what to tell you. And I was busy, and they kept going, and they said, can I call you? I said, sure. So they called me up. And he kept talking, and I was like, I was taking notes, but he kept going with things, and he's like, and I'm like, okay, this isn't just somebody talking. So he went on, and one of the things he said was, if you go up there right now, have you been up that way? I said, no, I haven't been up that way in a little bit. And he's like, there's about 10 to 11, there was 16 flatbeds, they're not emptied. Nobody's working anymore. There's no work going on in the airfield, there's nothing happening. Huh. And that struck me as odd, because we're, like, at the time, we're like 10 days away. So I really paid attention, and you know, I talked through some editors of mine, and you know, like, they said the same thing. If they're not going to go on the record, we got nothing. But pay attention to it. And this guy kept going, and there was no, you know, a lot of times you think this, you think, okay, this guy's got a vendetta. There's something, he's mad at them about something. But it wasn't the case at all. This guy was very concerned about people's money. Monday evening, I had a story ready to go, looking for a, you know, someone to tell me something that wanted to go on the record.
Right.
And the chatter started happening online. You know, hey, I'm hearing that there's an announcement tomorrow. I hear Roxas is going to make an announcement. So I woke up early in the morning and we started really hearing that they were going to call it. So I flew up to the airport and started asking around. They had no idea. They were like, no, we don't know anything.
So when they did cancel it, or I guess in the day or two before the cancellation became official, was there any word from the promoter, from the event itself, that things might not happen? Because at that point, I was seeing people were still buying tickets and stuff.
Yes, that was so there was nothing. There was absolutely nothing from Roxas, from the Roxas promoters. MF Live is the name of the production company that was kind of handling it. Nothing from anyone. And you're right, when it came down that it was canceled, I know I checked about 2 hours after, but I heard it was a long time after that. You could still buy tickets. And it was like, okay, that's a key part. Like, shut that down. And as we're finding out more and more now, this decision was made the day before that they were calling it. They were calling it the day before. They knew it was done. So there was a whole over 24 hours where tickets were still being purchased. And other than that, like, the week before, they kind of knew they were shutting it down. But officially, the word is there was a meeting in town, or a meeting in the area, and they were shutting it down and decided to make the announcement the next day in the morning, when really 24 hours plus, people were still buying tickets.
What kind of money are we talking about here for tickets and other things that people were paying?
I know there was several packages, which also really made it kind of unbelievable. So there was plans to have a carnival. They would fly you in through by helicopter because it was an airfield, they could do that. So there were different tiers for that. A couple hundred for a ticket, maybe 400 or 500 for the special treatment with a tent. Because you can get this another thing you do is camp there, and you get the special tent, real state-of-the-art type tent. And if you didn't want to keep the tent, they were saying they were going to donate it to the homeless. So you could buy it and donate it. That's all well and good. So there were one of the people I was talking to, her and her husband spent $1,200 on tickets and loading up their wristbands. Because it was that wristband policy. So you scan the wristband and you can add money to it. And then another few hundred on hotel. And another couple, same thing, except without the hotel, they had an RV and they were going to get some camping space, which they said was limited because so many people were doing that. So yeah, people were dropping a couple $1,000s on tickets and hotel.
When you start telling me about like they'll fly you in on a helicopter and you can get VIP packages and your own tent and stuff, like, you know, given the last year, the image that's immediately popping into my mind, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was, I think, what was the hashtag? I think it was the Canadian Fire Fest. I think it was the hashtag. Something like, man. Yeah. You know, part of it's like, okay, that's the sexy term, sure. That's a great sensationalization, but it really was without people actually getting there. Had people have gotten there, sure, it would have turned into Firefest, because it's not like it had, and not to diminish, but it had happened in Toronto. You just turn around, get on the highway, or get a hotel room, or
right.
I don't know. This is literally in the middle of nowhere. This airport's in the middle of nowhere. It's two lanes, forest all around. So all of these people would have came to this town that's just got nobody there. So it would have absolutely been a Firefest situation without being too dramatic. It really would have.
So what was the reason given from the promoter why it was canceled?
So what they had said was because of all the rain, the grounds were no good and couldn't support the stage. The drainage and the grassy areas was just, it was dangerous and they couldn't move through with it. They were trying to hold off in hopes that it would dry up. Right off the bat, anybody that lives in this area knew that was not right, because we haven't had a good rainfall in a while. What they were trying to say was, no, it was the rain earlier in the spring. Still does not make sense, because I know we had a few significant rainfalls, but nothing to stop production on a concert, but, you know, a couple months later.
Well, and you mentioned that Burl's Creek had just hosted the Rolling Stones, yeah, right? Which is a huge concert.
Just had the Rolling Stones. Yeah, they added staging and to that. I mean, that was just a huge production. So they just had it. And I asked that question to the mayor of Clearview Township. And he said, the day before, I had asked him if that was possible at all. And he trying to put out fires of his own, I guess, he said, yeah, it's believable, because this is agricultural country. So it's really hard to decipher what the ground is going to do. And again, I think maybe he was just trying to calm everybody down and calm the situation before he really knew anything. I got to the airport and I spoke to the owner of the airport over the phone. And I asked him what he thought about that. And as I was asking, he was laughing. And he said, that's a great excuse. And he said, I really shouldn't say anything else. I had asked him for permission to go onto the grounds. And because it's fenced off. Like, it's fenced off and it's got a security gate and all that, because it's an airport. And he said, absolutely, go on in and get your photos. So a gentleman drove me around and was just showing me where everything was going to be. And the ground where it was going to be was all gravel and cement. And then I asked him, and he knows those grounds better than anybody. And he said, that's a bunch of bunk. He's like, that's not true at all. And he said, not only are the grounds fine, but that they were, the people that were running the concert were in there a long time before, a couple months before. And one of the main things they were doing was preparing the grounds. So they had prepared, they were fine. They really were fine. That was, and we've come to find out through, I believe it was Facebook posts that are now deleted, or words given between the two promoters, that it wasn't the case. Because when I spoke to the owner of, first of all, when I spoke to the owner of the airport, he said that the day before, the gentleman from MF Live, whether it was both of them or one, were trying to sell the land back to him. The MF Live had purchased 137 acres of the east part of the airport last year, about November, December, maybe even October.
So they bought it. They weren't just renting it for the festival.
No, they bought it and to prepare it for festivals, and or this festival at the very least. So they purchased it ready to go at the airport. Okay, no problem. They sold that land off. The day before the concert was called, they tried to sell it back. And he didn't say the number, but he said it was way too high, and he wasn't doing that. I'm assuming they were trying to cover their costs from the concert by selling it off too high. So there's the allegations now are back and forth that the two gentlemen that run it have spoken. Again, I think they made a Facebook post. It's been, well, one of them has blocked me, so I can't see his stuff. But they're blaming each other now, back and forth. One mishandled money, the other one wasn't even in charge of that stuff. He was just supposed to book talent, and it's starting to fall apart for them. So
they're not even blaming the grounds anymore.
No, they still it's gone away from that. That was the initial message on their website and the one that they put out to the media, I guess. But now they've just kind of deterred from that. They've gone completely off that and are just blaming each other.
It's a pretty small community up there, and this is a huge show. Have you talked to folks who are preparing to work it, preparing to supply it? Like, what happens when that goes away a week out?
Some of the people I spoke to was I spoke to a vendor who spent close to $2,500 on his lot, like the space that he was going to have, and the hydro provided for that lot. As far as him working it, he said that he basically spent all that, thousands of dollars on that, and he has no idea how he's going to get that back. He sells non-dairy frozen yogurt, so. Not only did he spend all that money on the hydro and the lot itself, he had a whole bunch of product made because he can't make it on the spot. So he has a ton of product he's got to get rid of. Now, he said, fortunately, he thinks he can sell it off. He has it frozen, and he can sell it off at different festivals over the next little while. But as far as the lot and the hydro stuff, he doesn't know how that's going to work, and he hasn't heard anything back about that yet. But people working it, as far as workers, we haven't heard of anyone yet. We haven't spoke to anybody about that. I do know, actually, when they canceled it, I tried every day, once in the morning, once in the evening, to get a hold of someone at an email that was provided when they announced the cancellation. And heard nothing back until just 2 days ago. The gentleman messaged back and said, thanks for being patient, but I actually don't work there anymore. My final duty was to mentioned the cancellation and put that out there, and he hadn't heard anything else at that time from anyone in management. It kind of just went blank for him as well.
So is anybody, obviously not the promoters, but is anybody else stepping up to offer refunds, or are any of these people getting their money back?
The feel-good stories kind of start now. Eventbrite, the ticket place Eventbrite, have already begun, they began yesterday or maybe even the day before, refunding people. And the word is that they're refunding, from what I gather, they're going to refund everybody the money. It's going to take a little while, but it's really starting to snowball. And I'm assuming a lawsuit happens, and I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming something's going to happen here. They will go after the money lost. So the people that spent their hard-earned money are getting money back. I'm hearing tons. I mean, my email went off all day yesterday of someone who said, hey, I haven't heard anything back. Do you know anything? And 6 minutes later, they messaged, said, never mind, just got my refund. So the refunds are coming in fast and furious. And I'm sure, if anybody hasn't got it yet, just be patient. It's going to take a little while, but apparently it's moving pretty fast. And Eventbrite, I've reached out to them, and they said they'd get back as soon as they could. But it just seems like they've really stepped up and they're really helping people out.
And then they'll go after the promoters to try to get their money back.
Then they'll go after and try to recoup the losses. But they're, like they said, their important thing was a lot of people spent thousands of dollars, hundreds of dollars, and they should get it back and not have to worry about going after people they can't even track down.
So what happens next? We wait and see what the police say?
Yeah. Wait until the investigation, until, again, whoever they're investing, we can always assume that because there's two people, and the two people that at the head of it, MF stands for Mike and Fab Live. So Mike Dunphy and Fab Larange are two of the guys that ran this, and they're the two guys now that are going after each other, blaming each other. Mike Dunphy is, what we're hearing is, he was, as of last week, was no longer, actually through his own words, was no longer with MF Live. And then you start, someone looks at that and goes, oh, so he's a former employee. Okay. And what we do know is the OPP are looking into a former employee of MF Live. It could be anybody. But the rumors start, it could be him, because that's what it sounds like. But until we hear back from the OPP, we don't know. We just don't know anything.
What's the legacy of this festival going to be up there?
Well, you know, I think, I don't know the term for it. I can never remember what it, but because it's happening right here, we all look at it like, man, we don't realize, we forget that a lot of people are looking at, and this is a huge deal all over. And I think we have to step back and look at this and go, this is horrible. This is a horrible thing to happen. And any time a college is going to be held at Edenville Airport, or the grounds on, who, by the way, are great people, and it's not their fault, everyone's going to go, oh, remember Roxas? Like, I mean, someone said to me, and I don't know if you remember, but years back, years and years ago, the big marijuana pot plant in Barrie at the old Molson plant.
Oh, I do remember that. Yes.
Yeah. The big, and I mean, I'm telling you, it's become, you know, a lot of people that lived here, the older crowd, they don't even want to talk about it. It's a stain on the history of the city. And there's other people who are like, that's the funniest thing of all time. Like, nobody died, nobody got hurt. What a funny story. And I think that Roxas will do that as well. I just think, and especially because it's become really lighthearted, more so because people are getting their money back, because of companies like Eventbrite who stepped up. And I will say, I wanted to mention this because it'll show you how the humor, how people are trying to get around, or how people are trying to make this a better feeling event. On Thursday would have been the, I believe, the kickoff, Thursday the 11th, there's a little bar at the Edenville Airport, bar and restaurant called The Hangar. There's going to be a concert / like get together called Roxobust. There's a Facebook page called Roxodus, the festival that never happened, but more than 20,000 wish it did. And there's going to be a get together for people who want to come out, or who maybe lost out on tickets, or people who just want to come out and have a good time. And from what I gather, they're trying to get a cover band or two of some of the big names. I think I heard that a cover band for Kid Rock was going to perform. And they're having a good time. They're going to go out there Thursday. They're going to have a laugh and get together and just kind of have some fun. And I'm betting a ton of people become friends over this and get together over this. But it shows, I guess, that Canadian humor. You know, it things went bad, but it's not that bad. We're getting our money back, so let's have fun with it.
Sean, I'm so glad you guys are making the best of this. Thanks for joining us.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Sean Gibson is a reporter for Barrie Today. And that was The Big Story. For more from us, you can head to thebigstorypodcast.ca, where you will find precisely zero stories like this one, but lots of other good stuff. You can also hit us up on Twitter at TheBigStoryFPN, and you can rate us and review us and subscribe for free anytime, wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, on Google, on Stitcher, or on Spotify, or on one of 69 million other podcast applications. Thanks for listening. I'm Jordan Heath Rawlings. We'll talk tomorrow.